Father in heaven, when my heart is just really struck this morning with a passage from Ezekiel, and you ask the question, when will my name be exalted amongst the world, in the world? And God, your word says that when you are hallowed in us before their eyes. And God, I just pray that your church today, oh God, that we would be undone by such majesty, that you would be hallowed in our eyes, that the lost world could follow our gaze and see the glory of the risen Savior. God, that there would be nothing else in us this morning but just to be overwhelmed by you. That our worship would be pure. That we would be in the presence of unspeakable holiness. And that the doxa, the radiance, the power, the otherness of who you are would penetrate these temples and fill this temple. Oh God, fill us with your Spirit today. Fill us with your Spirit. Strengthen us to worship you. God, we can't draw anybody to you if we're not there. And God, I pray today, bring your church into your presence. Overcome our flesh. God, help us to hate anything that would defile this sacred temple and this fellowship we have with you. And God, I pray, cleanse us and fill us and overwhelm us that our world could indeed follow our gaze to you and your name would be exalted on the earth again. Do this work, God, and we will dance for all eternity for what you have done today. Bring glory to your name. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Yeah. I love you guys so much. And we are so white, but Fidelis is trying to help us. You know, and he gets you clapping, you guys are on, then you start singing, and then you got your mind has to make a choice. I prefer you just to go ahead and sing and do whatever your hands do. I just love that. And he's up here going, is that just rebellion? Or are they just, anyway, Pastor Fidelis, it's just that we're all a little bit too white. But we're going to keep working on it, amen? Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow. Last week, this message is kind of kicking off from last week. And how much do you remember? I don't know. So if I say, dude, that's... Oh, you guys aren't too bad. That's a saying from, like, I don't know, a while back, 70s, I don't even know. And it was a saying that went around a lot. Dude, that's, okay, and that's where we're going to continue this week because we get the privilege, the sacred privilege of walking in Christ. And because of the miracle of Christ in me, we actually get to do righteousness where? Here on earth. That's crazy, right? I mean, because when he said, oh, Father in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. A little later in the same sermon, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Those two things need to come together because the will of God in heaven is righteous. It is holy because he is holy. And it's great, right, in heaven. But the miracle he's praying for is that righteousness could and does happen through his saints right here on earth. And oh my goodness, is that not the answer to everything? How many of you have a wayward son or daughter, somebody you love very much, somebody in your world that's lost, that indeed if they would walk in the miracle of Jesus Christ and walk in righteousness, would that not solve everything? It solved everything in my life. I say that, by the way, with an understanding that I still got issues, right? But I mean, oh my goodness, I was dead and now I'm alive. And this, our first today is 1 Corinthians 15:34, he's trying to raise a very messed up church to an awake. He wants them to awake to this miracle that you get to walk in. First phrase, 15:34, 1 Corinthians 15, awake to righteousness. Oh God, quicken our hearts as Christian believers, quicken us as your saints to the miracle that we get to do in the miracle of Christ in us. On earth, we get to do that which is considered before you righteous. Oh God, what a privilege. And God, I pray today you quicken our hearts to the choice we have to walk in the miracle of Jesus Christ, and quicken our hearts to how eternally significant this is and the glory that is at stake today. God, I pray you'd awaken us to the privilege of walking in righteousness. Father, we just pray you do this. In Jesus, we love you. Amen. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is at hand. And then he upped it a little bit in Luke 11 when he said the kingdom of God is entos. Again, that's review. What does that mean, entos? Within you, inside you. That's pretty crazy stuff. But he was establishing where the kingdom of God is at. And it is in us. And so we get to do his will in us. And that's, as Paul said, that's a great mystery. It's so cool. Dude, that's righteous, right? And so I started looking for it by way, as I thought about this phrase this week, awake to righteousness, and I began to be aware that I could see righteousness in you pretty readily. When I see you walking in Christ, how many of you have more, at least lately, started to looking for it and then actually awaking to it in your own life? I mean, it's a conscious effort. I want to tell you, when I awoke to righteousness this morning, it was 4:34. Why do I remember that? I was on my way here in my car, and I was driving past a particular point on the highway where there's a sign on the highway that every time I go by it provokes me to pray earnestly for somebody I love very much. It's 4:34, and so you know I've been up for a while, but I was not what? Awake. Yeah, right on. Man, I was like, you know, whatever you're thinking about, it was not anything worth talking about. And that does frustrate me, by the way, when I've been up for almost an hour and there's nothing like worthwhile going on. Anybody know that that's a waste of time? Okay, so I'm 4:34 and I'm preaching on awake to righteousness, and I finally do what? Boom, right there, go, stop, Theodore, whatever you're thinking about, that's worthless. Start praying right now for this person. Guess what? Boom, what happened? Woo, dude, that's, I got a choice right there, and I got to enter into something and do battle for somebody. Dude, that's, okay, so we need to be aware of that, because we get a choice now that we never had. It's a beautiful thing. And I just want you to, you know, I don't know. I see righteousness in you. We sometimes need to see that and encourage one another. When somebody does something in Christ, that's a miracle. That's the will of God done on earth. Amen? Man. Whew. Let me just give you an example. Because when I think of righteousness going on in my life, my wife hates being my wife because I pick on her all the time. But this is the honest truth. Walking alongside her today is a glorious journey. And the other day we're walking somewhere, and I always say the same thing. I say, you want an elbow? And so I go over and I give her my elbow, and I love walking with her. And we walk at her pace, right? Otherwise, I mean, that's the whole purpose, right? And whenever we do, I always have this song in my head. Every now and then it comes out and she hears it. And it's the wedding march. How's that go? Was your wedding a nightmare? I don't know. That didn't sound good. When they, how's that go? There you go. That's a little better. You might have had a pleasant experience. I did. Anyway, so when I'm walking with her, I hear that. Okay? My mind goes back to our wedding day. And when I was standing up front with the preacher and the doors of the back of the First Baptist Church opened and the sunlight flooded in and she walked in on that sunbeam. I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly how it happened. And there was the big ugly farmer next to her, but she was so beautiful. And she's walking down that aisle and I'm like, oh, that's what I still feel every time I give her an elbow, and I just start, music starts playing in my head, because even though now she walks with difficulty, I am with her. When she chooses to walk in faith in Christ, chooses to serve and to love and to give and to minister, and to, I tell you what, dude, that's, oh, you're not getting it. That's not boring before God. He's still celebrating. Dude, that's righteous, right? How many of you live with somebody like that? You need to see it. You need to praise God for it. Awake to righteousness. Jesus is building his kingdom here, right? Right? Yeah. We need to celebrate that a lot more. And by the way, I'm so glad that he gave us this verse in the context of the Corinthian church. I mean, they were a mess. I mean, discord and division and lawsuits and sexual immorality that's not even named amongst the Gentiles. Divorce, they were profaning communion so much that it was referred to as a table of demons. They were drunk in church. The whole me and Jesus movement, I don't need anybody else. They you know, that's why God had to address the fact that we're all knit together according to his pleasure. They were failing at the most core issues, including, of course, love. And then at this point, just prior to this, they're questioning the resurrection. And so it's late in this letter to a really messed up church that he says, awake to righteousness. And then he has a little context. Let's go read it a little bit here. Verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some of you do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So awaking to righteousness, oh my goodness, it's not possible if you're not walking in communion with Jesus Christ. Beware who your friends are. Evil company will corrupt you. And then he says, do not sin. I say this to your shame. Some of you do not even know God. What's he saying? You know better than this. You know this stuff is wrong. You know it's lies. You know it, yet you hang around with the wrong crowd. By the way, if this sounds like I'm speaking to some of our young people to be careful about who your friends are, that's true. It'll be a life habit for you. You need to be careful who you hang out with. Do not be deceived. You will be, the word corrupt is to waste, to shrivel, to spoil, to defile. So that means that you had what? A crazy privilege in life to walk in righteousness in Christ, and instead you're living a shriveled up life. Wow. It's an old phrase that we've said here a lot over the years, seduced and reduced. And eventually you'll be recruited. So I want to ask you, are you living righteousness on earth? Does heaven rejoice when you walk out what God's called you to? Or are you living a withered life? So wake up. You can live a holy life. You can live what is beautiful and holy. And we're going to look at it in a few minutes, how it just resonates and indeed explodes in eternal waves of glory. Or you can be a fool, led by fools. Deceived is to cause to roam or go astray. It to seduce out of the way. So you need to ask, where are the relationships in your life leading you? Where is it leading you? I'm reminded of something that Ravi Zacharias said. At least it was attributed to him, and I'm not sure this was original with him, by the way. I'm pretty old. I think this went back prior to this. Sin will take you further than you wanted to go. Sin will keep you longer than you wanted to stay, and sin will cost you more than you want to pay. So this call, he said, evil company corrupts good habits. It shrivels you. It'll take you out of the way. It'll deceive you. Awake. Wake up now to righteousness. How cool is righteousness? What really happens when righteousness happens on earth? I know that some of you are like, well, that's going to take away all my fun. It might take away most of what you do now for fun, but it doesn't take away what is the most fun. Awake to righteousness. There's one word to me that just sums up how beautiful and powerful righteousness is, and it's the word glory. It's glory. Glory. How do you define glory? Well, words like doxa. What does that mean to you? I don't know. What's that? Radiance. Someone said other. That's the word holy is translated other. That's a big help too, right? So, but it is radiance. I describe it as living light. And that doesn't help you much, but we're going to look at some things because I don't want you to trade away your glory. I want us to walk in all the glory that God has for each and every one of us every day. I want us to celebrate this day because some of you are going to have to make some decisions this day, and you're going to have to wake up to the miracle of righteousness, and what's at stake is glory. So I made a little note to myself, stop and read this, which I do that every now and then because I don't hardly ever read my notes. I might look like I am, but I'm not. Awake to righteousness. See it here, now on earth, but even more, yea, much more, see it tomorrow and see it forever, because every step and every small deed in Christ is going to explode in shockwaves of glory forever. Awake to the crazy, cool miracle that can take place when you choose righteousness today. Wake up also to the fact that if you choose to live a withered life, what you're trading away. I want to ask you a couple questions. Is your life the answer to the Lord's Prayer? When he is seeking God, he says, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's it say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, this earth, right here, today. By who? You. Are you the answer to the Lord's Prayer? Right here, right now? If you are, dude, that's righteous. We need to understand that. But it's also glorious. So I want you to look at this. So glory, first thing I want to mention to you, it's what you wear. It's the clothing of heaven. Revelation chapter 19, 7 and 8, and it's one of my favorite windows into our future. Glory. People say glory, is that like the destination? Grandma went on to glory. Well, that's not an address, by the way. It's a state. So, Revelation chapter 19, verse, 7 and 8. Let us be glad. Oh, my, the whole chapter I'd just love to read. But let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. How are you going to be clothed? With fine linen? By the way, when it's granted to you, there's a whole bunch of theology there. You couldn't do it without what? Christ in you. But see, that's the miracle. The kingdom of God is entos, Christ in me. And when I obey him, I'm doing his will. There's righteous, that has eternal significance to you personally. Some of you took a lot of care about how you got dressed to come here today, right? And some of you didn't, which is cool, fine. You're still welcome. But you know, it's a big deal, right? And so it's how you're going to be clothed, and it's heaven's wardrobe. I could look at, we might come back to this a little later, but every act done in Christ, every deed is part of your eternal reward. And the way in which it's going to be, you're going to see it's expressed here is that it's eternal. So you have to ask yourself, when you're choosing righteousness, you're choosing to give your life for his sake and his cause, and you're choosing to love, and you're choosing to do those things that are his will. And when you do that, it is never insignificant. And contrast that with every other kind of endeavor. So you only got, what, you got a life to spend. Is it working for you an eternal weight of glory? And so I want you to understand that what we're talking about here is eternal stuff. So I wrote this earlier. Every act, small or large, every deed, all things done in him, boom, explode in shockwaves of eternal glory. There's an impact that never ends. Just as sin's impact, you realize that sin's impact has an eternity to it? The sin, our sin has, it causes a reaction in God which is holy, and we call it his wrath, and the payment of that will go on for what? Forever and forever and forever. And of course, we know that Christ drank the wrath of God, but for everyone that refuses that, he's going to go ahead and what? Just give it to him. He's going to pour it out on him. And that's going to go on for how long? So righteousness, and this is the truth, because of the glory of what Christ is doing in us, it's going to go on for what? That's crazy cool, isn't it? That's crazy stuff. It's not just a cheap 4th of July boom, you know what I mean? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, let's go there and look at it. By the way, I shouldn't say cheap 4th of July, there's no such thing anymore. chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians. And let's just read verse 15 first. For all things are for your sake. And boy, the context here is brutal, difficult. It is ministry. It is the hard laying down your life and all that it costs you and death that's happening in you, life in the world. But he's saying in the middle of all the pain and suffering, remember that all that is what? For you. Even if you don't get a response, even if you get hated without a cause, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. It's part of God's grace that he lets us suffer in Christ. Okay? But it's for you. And how for you is it? Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That you're exploding eternal glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you see glory coming? Do you understand that in the everyday decision to follow Christ, there is eternal glory coming from that? Awake to righteousness. So it's not just the clothing of heaven, it's the currency of heaven. Jesus unashamedly appeals to us to invest in heaven's treasure. Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21. Actually, I think that's wrong. I'm going to find it for you and then tell you where to go. How's that? Actually, no, it is 6, 21, 21. And I'm actually looking at the wrong notes here. Let's go to Matthew 6. That'll be fun. But he asks you to invest in this, right? And he does it what seems like a selfish motive. Store up for your neighbor. Is that what it says? Store up for Jesus. No, it says lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where neither wrath. Yeah. Pretty simple, right? Lay up for who? For yourself. Now, I believe with all my heart that unless you're willing to lay down your life for his sake, you'll not find life. So how do you reconcile Jesus himself saying, he that wants to preserve his life will lose it, but he'll lose it for my sake, will find life. And then he comes to them without embarrassment and says, I want you to lay up for yourself treasure. And he also says that in another place, I want you rich toward God. It's about glory. It's heaven's treasure. It's God's currency. How do we reconcile these two? One word, righteousness. When I, in Christ, am doing what he's asking me to do for his sake and his kingdom, do you know that when I choose to sacrificially love you, I can't do that by myself, amen? I'll tell you, way more than you know I can't. I cannot do that by myself. But when I do that in Christ in submission to him and I'm walking in righteousness, it reverberates in eternal glory. Who gets the glory? That's a trick question, right? Oh, you're like, no, I can't say me because that's not, I'm in church. Who gets the glory? He does. Who gets the glory? You do. And Jesus himself in John 17, he talks about how that he is sharing his glory. He is inviting us into it. And isn't that crazy good? Your righteousness is not yours by itself, but it's the righteousness of Christ in you. And when he does that stuff, oh my goodness, you're going to be paid forever. Do you want that? Yeah. You need to be greedy for that. Invest in it. One of the things that we need to ask ourselves is, how's that working for you? That's a different twist on that question. That was a big deal when I was coaching football. Those kids, they'd just do something and say, how's that working for you? I want you to ask the question, how's that working for you? Whatever you're spending your energy on, whatever you're investing your life in, how's that working for you? How's that working for the Lord? How's it working? Are you investing in the kingdom? What are you investing in? Mark chapter 8. Jesus was rather brutal about this stuff. You ever notice that? In verse 34, when he had called the people to himself and his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake, and the Gospels will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So let me ask it again. What will it profit you if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? And so if you're coming to Jesus as just, you know, like a, there's this Christian company that literally says, make God your partner and he'll make you rich. It's a real common phenomenon in our country. Invite Jesus into your life and he'll build your bank account. He'll help you build your wealth. It's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus is not into preserving your life. He's showing you how to die for him. I want to ask you, what is it going to profit you to gain the entire world and lose your soul? What are you investing in? Let's go to the parable of the talents real quick. I think we should visit this for a minute. Luke chapter 19, we'll go to that version. This comes up in two different Gospels. Glory is the currency of heaven. Verse 11. A certain nobleman went into a far country, received for himself a kingdom, and to return. It's beautiful stuff, by the way. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. That's what we need to be doing, right? But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came saying, master, your mina has earned 5 minas. And likewise, he said to them, you'll also be over 5 cities. And then another came saying, master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief, for I feared you because you are an austere man. I can't say that, sorry. You collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was this kind of man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, and that my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has none. Who has ten. And then he's going to go on to say that to everyone who has will be given, from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And then he said, bring me those enemies of mine. By the way, that's the others that wouldn't invest. So what was the common thing between this and the other parable of talents? They invested, but the common thing is they took a risk. They did their father's business, so to speak. They did their master's work. They gave themselves to that end, and they took a risk. You are trading away your eternal glory that God intended for you and you alone to walk in on this earth if you will not take a risk. I have a little four-minute thing from, forgot his name. You'll see him, you'll recognize him. Francis Chan, thank you. Just came back. A voice came, told me.
Died in a car accident when I was 9. Then my dad got married again. Then my dad died of cancer when I was 12. And so I'm in junior high. My mom's dead. My stepmom's dead. My dad's dead. The only close relatives I had were my aunt, uncle, George and Sandra. And then when I was in high school, they got in a fight, and my uncle George shot and killed my aunt and then stuck the gun to his own head, killed himself. So I'm 16 years old, and this is life to me, going, man, what's next? Everything seems to be falling apart, and we get a little worried. We get a little scared. And this is what Christians do. You know, they try to serve God, but then things get a little rocky, and things get a little unstable. And so we go, okay, that was nuts. I don't want to live like that. Let me hold on. And this is your routine. This is what so many people do. They go, you know what? I'm not going to try anything crazy. I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to hold on. And this is what you look like. You just go, this is what people do. You know what? I'm just going to have my nice little family. We're just going to, You know, we're just going to keep to ourselves. We're going to live in a gated community. I'm going to homeschool my kids, make them wear helmets everywhere. I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to let them outside because sun has bad rays. I'm going to, you know, just on and on and on. And you just live your life in the safety of, I don't want to do anything crazy for God. I just want to, you know, go to church on Sundays and maybe give like 2%. Maybe serve, help the nursery, because I feel guilty. And then you do this your whole life, and then you go, your greatest prayer is like, God, you know what? I would love to die in my sleep and not even feel it, and then just go up to heaven. And so you want to die like this, just in your sleep, ooh, right in the middle of a dream, good dream, the dream you're going to heaven, and you don't even feel it. And then suddenly you wake up, you stand before the judge, and you go, now, could you imagine watching the Olympics, you know, and some girl does that, just gets up there, starts straddling the thing, and then steps off and goes, what is the judge supposed to do on the card? You see, and to me, I go, man, that's the routine that so many Christians are headed for. That's the routine, the boring, I do nothing crazy because I don't want to fall. That's the routine that they're going to live, and then one day it's going to be a shock because they're going to step off that balance beam and realize they're standing before the judge. They're standing before the judge, and you think he's going to look at that routine and go, wow, well done. Well done. You lived the safest life possible. You didn't slip. You didn't fall. See, that's not the life that God's called us to. That's where the majority will head. But I don't want to go where the majority goes.
So, I'm not going to preach the last third of my message today because I just want us to focus on this one last thought. You know, are you taking risks? I mean, it's we are to be those who are hungry for glory and willing to invest, knowing that we must, knowing that we live really a stewardship lifestyle, that it doesn't belong to us. This life is not ours, and he's coming back, and we want to give everything we have because we have such a short window. I want to ask you, you know, are you raising warriors with your children? I thought about the idea of helmets. I tell you, helmets are crazy things because, you know, the helmets, whenever you talked about helmets when I was a kid, you know, you get this image of a G.I. Joe with a helmet because, you know, that's what people did who wore helmets. They were at battle. And yes, I'm old enough that the generation before me when they played football really just had that leather cap. But helmets were about a big deal. And nowadays, when we raise kids, we put bicycle helmets on them. And it's a completely different culture that we live in. Everything is about preserve my life. Everything's about fear. Everything's about being caution. You know, we have to have full of caution about everything. And it penetrates the church. We're you know, I just want to know, are you raising children who are warriors in the kingdom? Are they seeing you lay down your life and take risks? Jesus said, if you preserve your life, you're going to lose it. And he didn't turn around and say, but help me preserve it for you. No, he's going to help you lose it. Glory is only there if there's a risk. We need to be hungry for that. We need to invest in it. We need to lay up for ourselves treasure in heaven. We need to be so fully invested in it. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your what? Your heart be also. We need to be so invested in it and so looking forward. There's a verse out of 1 Peter that says, you know, that we're ready for the unveiling of the saints. It's literally the word apocalypto. And Romans 8 talks about all of creation is groaning and stretching its neck for the revelation of the saints. You know what's going to be revealed? Glory. what he has done in you, every righteous deed is going to explode, and it's going to be an apocalypse. And people say, what's the coming apocalypse? It's you revealed by Jesus. And it's an exploding glory. You don't think of the apocalypse that way? That's your great next, Christian friend. That's your great next. Everything he's done in you will explode in glory. And everything that was meant to be done in you, the scripture says you're going to suffer loss. It's going to be tried by fire. I want to ask you, are you investing in that day? Oh, we have to be. We have to be. I don't have the worship team is going to come and sing a song, and you know, this is a song that's an upbeat song. It's a fun song, and it's about when you see these things happen, God is on the move. What is the first phrase we started with today? Awake to righteousness. See where God is on the move. Praise God for it. Awake to righteousness, though, the first exhortation is to you. I hope you didn't wait till 4:34 this morning to wake to righteousness. I hope the second you got out of bed, it was like, here I am, Lord. What can I pray for? What do you want to do for your kingdom? Here I am, Lord. Yeah, it took me almost 45 minutes. It's too long, right? It's too long. I mean, I had cattle escaping yesterday. I had so many crises the last part of this week, and including, you know, my accountant called me, told me, oh, we started the day with you owing $38,000 worth of taxes. Talk about a crisis. I was like, are you kidding me? She was wrong. She was gravely wrong. But, you know, when stuff like that happens, what happens to you? Are you thinking righteous thoughts? Maybe not. What I'm trying to tell you is I understand what it is to work hard. I understand what it is to have Christ. I understand what it is to deal and to walk in painful situations. But every single circumstance you're in, you can awake to righteousness and you can do things. And even that accountant thing, by the way, talking to them, dealing with them, I am consciously saying, Lord, help me. Help me to be Jesus to this person that's so profoundly wrong. Seriously. Help me to be gracious. Help me to not be somebody fretting or fearful. Help me to be Jesus. Help me to honor you in the midst of what? The storm, because there's no glory if it's easy. And then, Lord, beyond just what storms hit me, help me to step out into a storm. Help me to take on. By the way, I appreciate the fact that the core group of our church, the majority of you, reach out and have other people in your home. That's taking a what? It's taking a risk. Because that's what love does, right? Keep doing that. If you are preserving your home for your own, what profit is that to you? Seriously. What profit is that? Awake to what? Righteousness. Invest. Reach out. Do that which has an eternal weight of glory. And then look forward to the celebration. As we're singing this song, I haven't shared anything today about if you don't know Jesus as your Lord, but please hear this. Bad company corrupts, right? That means that if you're running in the wrong crowd, you will live a withered life. And chasing the things of this world is not life, it's a lie. So I want to encourage you today that you can begin. You can turn to Jesus Christ today and you can surrender your will to him. You can surrender the very deepest part of your being. You can believe that Christ died on the cross for you and paid that price. And you can surrender your will and receive him as the Lord of your life. And you can begin to walk in a way that brings glory to God for all eternity. You can have a life. I want to encourage you today, if God is speaking to you and you know it's your day, you need to go. You need to run to him. I encourage you to do that while we're singing this song. But saints, I still want to encourage you today to wake up, way up, and see the glory of God and choose to live in the glory of God. Praise God.